That's very well spoken. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Do you know what a child's favorite toy is? It's the next one they want. It's that one that they promise they'll never ask for another thing as long as they live. They will love it. They will cherish it forever. In fact, they're able to give up every other toy that they ever wanted just for this last, just if I could have that, it would just be so, so wonderful. But sometimes even in the midst of all that new stuff coming through, there is one special toy that makes its way to their heart. It truly is their long-term favorite toy. It may get relegated to the bottom of the box every once in a while, but it's the go-to possession that they have. And it seems to follow us into adulthood. We strive for more, bigger, better, shinier things. That gotta have it gene gets kicked up every once in a while, and we save toward it, we push, maybe we even borrow against it. Yet just as when we were 4 years old, it loses its glitter after a while, usually before the payments are through. And as if we've been able to grasp it at all, it's soon relegated to that old thing pile. But even in adulthood, there are those go-to things that bring us back to center. They help us to recalibrate who we are, where we come from, gives us that sense of life. And all of them seem to come back to us as we enjoy the embrace of our mother, the smell of her garments. It awakens something old, something new within us. And we're going to talk about a few of those compass points today. Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we ask for your help. I know myself, I've been sorting things out here in my 60s, relearning some things I thought I knew, revaluing things, reevaluating items in my life. Embarrassed at that some of the things that were most valuable I treated with a cavalier attitude. Some of the things I thought were so important didn't deserve the attention I gave them. And what keeps floating to the top of the pile is relationships, people. The people who stuck with me through the years, those who've loved me when I've not even been very lovely. And Lord, as we think about moms today, as we walk through the scriptures, would you change us? Would you help us to bring those things that are really important to the fore, and those things that are not so much, just let them go? That we would be better people, better families, that we would serve better than ever before because we've been washed by your word today. And we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Mothers are very much like that favorite childhood toy that often gets relegated to the bottom of the box. Then on some rainy day when we're driven into our room trying to find something to occupy our time, we dig a little deeper, Oh, there it is. We're surprised at the emotion stirred within us as we see that thing we hadn't seen for a while. Maybe we even forgot we had it. And as we begin to play, we become younger. We sink back in time, and it takes us back to an earlier time in our own history. Such fond memories. It fills our cloudy day with a little ray of sunshine as it pokes through. We place it near the top of the pile again, certain it will not be lost again. We will cherish this, but surely as new things come, it gets pushed down deeper and deeper, and than can be forgotten for a time again. We spend a lot of time trying to pull away from our mothers. We want to prove to her, I can cross the street without holding your hand. You don't have to do that. I can do this. I don't need your help. I can feed myself. I can stay out later. Why does the curfew have to be so early? You can trust me. I can go camping with the scouts, with the rangers. You don't need to come along. Don't be worried about me. I can move away from home, make it on my own. I can go to school, take that job, marry that new love of their life. But as they're gone, school proves to be harder than they thought it was going to be. That job, not as glorious as it seemed it would be. That new rose in their life, she or he has their thorns as well. And it's so often mom that rescues the day, rescues the life. Her word of wisdom, her word of encouragement, oh, you can do this. I know you can. I've been praying for you. I lift you up every day. The Lord is watching over you, special. Her prayers inspire you. Her faith has a grip on your soul. Oh, you have a favorite preacher or two. A great Sunday school teacher left an impression on your life. But none of them have infected you with their faith quite the way Mama has. Dad is sometimes hesitant to pray for you, but not her. She prays for you as naturally as she breathes. And it so often comes out in different forms. You got a promotion. You're a big deal now. There are a lot of people that look to you with admiration. But there's really only one whose approval is so very special. There was a time you went after the world's acceptance. You cherished their applause. But when you came down from your 15 minutes of fame, who was waiting for you there at the bus stop? Only that one. You used to laugh at her, you know. You mocked her every once in a while. You rolled your eyes more than once. You made fun of the way she needed to see you, to hold you, to touch you, to hear your voice. Oh, come on, Mom. Not while the guys are here. Stop that. We often wonder, when can a man declare he's a man? When can a woman say she's now an adult? I figured it out. It's the day you realize it's not about you. It's the day you cherish that one who has been cherishing you all of this time. It's the day when the roles are reversed and you stand in awe of them and the sacrifices that they've given. Barbara and I will never forget the day, this was some years ago. Remember when Trivial Pursuit first came out? What would it be a date on that, 1980, 90 something? Trivial Pursuit was all the rage, and we got our set. And we sat around with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and their son Mark was playing as well. And I think Grandma and Grandpa were there too. And we're playing Trivial Pursuit. And as it went around the table, Mark was just amazed that his mother knew anything. Not only that she knew anything, but she seemed to know everything. And as she answered question after question, he was in protest. How did you know that? When did you figure that out? You could watch, it was like ice melting off of him. Things were cracking. He could hardly handle the intelligence of it. He didn't realize his mom was that smart. that she had accumulated so many things. His admiration and his frustration were both growing at the same time. He had always thought himself smarter than his mother. And here we are proving otherwise. That is, in his teenage state, he had not outgrown his mother. It was a beautiful thing to see. Respect was being born right before our very end. Mark's a great guy. I think he's in his 50s now, so I guess that ages me quite a bit. But when do you become a man? When do you become a woman? When you realize who your parents are and what they've done for you in your life. You see, needing your mother isn't just for infants. I wish I'd have realized that a long time ago. Being a mother is a God-ordained institution. And like so many of those calls, it comes with its crosses to bear, but also with its resurrection days. Those days when the kid turns out and makes you proud. When they show up and they show off just a little bit. When somebody says, "Is that your kid?" And for once, they take after their dad's side of the family. No. Yep, that's my boy. That's my girl. And then there's that day. They're moving out. And maybe they're moving away. And you let them go. They're tearing your heart out. But why do you let them go? Because you love them. You mask the pain in your own heart. And maybe they even make fun of the tear in your eye. Oh, come on, Mom. It's only this far. I'll be back Thanksgiving, what have you. But the tear in your eye isn't about this moment. It's about a change that's taking place in all of life. There's been a shift in the universe. And you hope for them the joy of life. Your hopes for them are greater than your hopes for yourself. If they do well, you will be fine. Little do they realize how much your prayers have accomplished. That final they passed. The job they landed. That newborn baby they hold in their own arms. Mother's prayers, mother's prayers, mother's prayers have been answered. Oh, look what they did. They think they did it all by themselves, but you know better. And one day they'll send you that text or that card or show up at your door with a light of revelation shining through as they realize the one person who has invested in them that has formed the foundation upon which they had been able to build all else. They would have never. You were there for that very first step they had taken. Suddenly it dawns on them that without you, they would never have been able to reach for their stars. And finally, that moment of appreciation comes. The lights have been turned on. Your faith becomes their faith. And every sacrifice ever you made is made worth it. Among those things that remain is faith. Your faith has remained. And now you have lit the torch for the next generation. And it's time to begin to pray for the grandchildren. So yes, there's faith. And then there's hope. You trust the Lord that they'll be all right. Boy, doesn't the enemy whisper some terrible things into your ear? They drive out of the driveway for the very first time. And you can't sit still until you hear it pull back in the driveway again. And you fear so many things. But you hope. You put your trust in the Lord. That first day of preschool. Can they survive those 2 hours without you? Ooh, they're fine. You hope they'll soon catch on to the new math. You hope they'll conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel when you're not around. You hope they'll find their way, their gifts, their place in this world. You hope they'll have more of an influence on their friends than vice versa. You hope they'll marry well. When rifts occur, when their gaze is cool, when their words are harsh, you hope for that moment of reconciliation when the knock comes on the bedroom door. Can we talk? Yeah, about earlier. I'm sorry. But if those days never come, if that knock never happens, still you love. They may at times treat you like dirt, but you continue to treat them like a champion. For your greatest hope isn't that they love and honor you, but rather that they love and honor the Lord that you serve. So you hope, you pray, you serve. And some of their requests, some of their expectations are absolutely outrageous. But on you serve. Why? Why do you put up with it? Some of your friends even say, I wouldn't. But you do. And they do too. Surely the kids must have forgotten you're only human. They've asked you 12 things all at the same time. Hey, Mom, tomorrow, can you, by then, we only need 3 dozen. Fitting into their lives wherever you can. Knowing that it might not be until they're a parent themselves, or maybe even a grandparent, until they realize just what it is that you've given, what you've sacrificed on their behalf. Sometimes doormat, object of their blame, ashamed to have claimed you around their friends, finally awakened to your value. Yeah, we can hope for that. Faith, hope, and of course love. Love has fueled your faith and your hope. It's love that it enabled you to sustain their insults, the blows, the outrageous expectations. Happy only so long as the child is happy. This is where the love of God is most pronounced. The image of God is most pronounced in our lives. We love them when they recognize us and when they forget we exist. We love them when they appreciate what we've done and when they expect it. Mom loves, she cares, regardless of if her kids have followed the rules or gone astray. She loves even when she's not loved in return. And that proves it to be true love indeed. Every mom spends some time in the unloved box. Distanced and estranged. Some women spend all their lives in the unloved box. She told her son he couldn't go over to his friend's house. She told their daughter, no, you're not wearing that to school. Ooh. The hatred was palpable. The temperature in the room dropped dramatically. And although many go unloved, they never stop loving. And many even reach out and love children from other wombs. Yeah, it sounds supernatural, but there's enough love in a mother's heart to reach out to those who have need of some to spare. And now, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. How you doing, Mom? What are the treasures in your heart? Remember Mary? Jesus would go through this and then that, and she would treasure up these things in her heart. I hope you have a full heart today. I hope you have a healthy heart today. That the prizes are greater than the wounds, that the wounds were all worth it. But if not, know that God's not done yet. There's still time, there's still hope. Would you stand with me this morning?